Well, good morning.
Good morning.
So we have today the solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. What is this? Well, when this dogma was defined, what our Holy Father defined, and it was in 1950, Pope Pius XII infallibly defined the Assumption that at the end of the Blessed Mother's life here on earth, she was assumed body and soul into heaven. Now we're going to come back to that because I want to do a little apologetics plug first. This was the second time in the 2,000-year history of the Church that the Pope spoke infallibly. And I say that because, you know, sometimes, you know, some of our friends might say, oh, you're Catholic. You guys believe that the Pope is infallible and he can just say whatever he wants and you have to listen to him. Well, next time you get that, actually, you're wrong. The Pope has spoken infallibly twice in the 2,000-year history of the Church. And he can only do so under very, very limited and specific circumstances. Only when speaking on faith or morals, speaking ex cathedra, meaning from the throne, as his throne, as the successor of St. Peter, as the Archbishop of Rome, and in union with all the other bishops of the Church. So it's kind of difficult. It's not like you can just wake up one morning and decide that chocolate is better than vanilla, or anything like that. So next time someone says something like that, you can say, wait a minute, it's happened twice. And this actually ties in well, because when was the first time? The first time that the Pope spoke infallibly, and this connects to the Assumption, was in 1854, and I believe it was Pope Blessed Pius IX. I could be wrong, I think it was Pius IX. And the first, and what did he say in 1854? He defined the dogma of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So the two times the Pope has spoken infallibly both had to do with events in Mary's life. And how do these two relate? Well, it's not like in 1854 the Church started believing in the Immaculate Conception, nor is it that in 1950 the Church started believing in the Assumption. Both of these events have been believed from the beginning of the Church, and it was only through kind of a grassroots movement that both of these definitions in 1854 and again in 1950, that they finally worked their way up to the Pope by the regular, all of us Catholics from all over the world saying, this is what we believe. This is what we've always believed. This is what the Church has always believed. Can you put it down and write it and solemnly define it? And that's what happened in 1854 with the Immaculate Conception and in 1950 with the Assumption. The Church has always believed these two doctrines, these two dogmas, but they were never dogmatized. They were never actually put down into writing until those times. What do we get out of this? Well, in the Immaculate Conception, we believe that, of course, Mary, when she was conceived in the womb of her mother, St. Anne, that she was preserved from original sin. Because all of us, when we're conceived, we receive original sin from our parents. But the Lord preserved her from original sin when she was conceived in the womb of St. Anne, so that she could be a fitting place to one day carry the Lord. The Lord preserved her from any stain, any corruption of sin in her Immaculate Conception. And we see, again, the Lord preserved her from any corruption in the Annunciation when our Lord was conceived, and in his own birth. We talk about the virginal birth, that Mary was preserved from any stain of corruption, even in birth. And finally, then, the Assumption is kind of the logical consequence. If the Lord had preserved our Blessed Mother from any corruption in her own conception, from receiving original sin, any corruption in the virgin birth, certainly he preserved her from the corruption of death. And that's what we believe in the dogma of the Assumption, that when Mary's life here on earth was over, instead of suffering physical corruption, as we all do when we die, she was simply assumed, body and soul, into heaven with a glorified body. And why is this important? Because all of us, of course, when we die, we were not free from original sin. And even though original sin is wiped away in baptism, we still commit many other sins during our life, right? But when we die, we do return, we do experience physical corruption, our bodies do. We return to dust. That's what we say at Ash Wednesday, right? Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Remember, man, you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. This is perhaps why we have very good reason to believe that our Blessed Mother would not have attended Ash Wednesday services. But we will all experience our bodily corruption, right? We will return to the dust from which we came. Our bodies will. Now, what I want to say here is, of course, we humans are kind of a unique creature because we are supposed to be a body-soul composite. That's in our natural state, we are a body-soul composite. You have animals that are just bodies, and you have angels that are just spirits. But you have humans that are this composite of body and spirit, body and soul. And, of course, when we suffer physical death, and like I said, our body will eventually experience physical corruption and eventually return to the ashes. Our soul, of course, goes to the particular judgment when we suffer physical death. Our soul goes to the particular judgment, heaven or hell, or the suburbs of heaven, purgatory for a while. But we're in that unnatural state until the second coming, when the Lord will raise up from the dust our human body, glorified, and reunite them with our soul, returning us to that natural state of being, with body and soul reunited. And then heaven will be all the more enjoyable because we'll have our bodies to enjoy it with. And this leads to the last point I want to say. In the second reading that we heard from St. Paul to the Corinthians, the Colossians, let me double check. First letter of Corinthians. What does he say? He says, at Christ's coming, I'm going to pull this out. For just as in Adam all die, so too in Christ shall all be brought to life, but each one in proper order. Christ the first fruits. Then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Christ, of course, was the first to receive that glorified body. And the Blessed Mother was the second. And then all of us are next. And we have an interesting occurrence this year because, you know, not very often does the Assumption fall on Sunday. And, of course, being a solemnity, it trumps everything else. It trumps the regular Sunday feast, which would just ordinarily be the 20th Sunday in ordinary time. It's the highest possible feast, the highest rank of feasts that the Church has, a solemnity. And we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord because it's Sunday, and we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord every Sunday. But this year we also celebrate, I don't want to say the resurrection of the Blessed Virgin because she didn't suffer any physical corruption, but the glorification, receiving her glorified body and assuming body and soul into heaven and preparing the way for us. Because, you know, we can look at our Lord and we can say, well, he was fully human, but he was also fully divine, right? And so sometimes we have a hard time kind of relating with him on that, well, he was God. But the Blessed Mother, of course, was not God. And that's another one of those immaculate misconceptions, as we call it. You know, you guys believe Mary is God. No, we don't. So that's something else you can use as apologetic. That Mary, who was just like one of us, yes, she was free from original sin, but she was a human, just like the rest of us. She was not also divine. And look at how she reveres herself. In the gospel we heard today, she refers to herself as God's lowly servant. She recognized that it was through no merit of her own that the Lord chose her for this great role and preserved her from original sin. And so we are called to that same glory. We are called to that same glory that the Blessed Mother now experiences in heaven. Now because, like I said, because we are sinners, our bodies will one day die and suffer physical corruption. But on the last day, when the Lord raises up our bodies and reunites them with our soul, we will be like the Blessed Mother is now in heaven, body and soul composite, complete in heaven, in that glory to which we are called. The last thing St. Paul says in his letter that we just heard, he says, when the last enemy to be destroyed is death itself. It's a beautiful image. And again, on Sunday we celebrate that, the resurrection of our Lord. He literally destroyed death. He reversed the powers of death. And it's not that Christ didn't die, and it's not that we won't die. Christ did die. Christ suffered physical corruption in his body. He died, and we will die. So it's not that death won't happen. It's that death will literally be reversed, literally be undone, just as it was in Christ's life, just as the Lord preserved the Blessed Mother from any physical corruption. He will literally reverse the power of death on us. He will pull us from the ashes, give us back our body, glorified though, and reunited with our soul. There's a very famous hymn that we often sing in Easter, Christ the Lord is risen today, and there's that great line, and it comes straight from Scripture, straight from the same letter of St. Paul, and he says, "Where, O death, is now thy sting? Where thy victory, O grave?" Whenever I sing that, I always think, wow, it's big time. Max, right? To say, what's death? To kind of rebuke death, and to realize that, yes, it has a little bit of a hold on us right now, but just as death did not have the last word on Christ, neither will it on us. And the Blessed Mother is proof of that in this feast that we celebrate today. So let's keep the Blessed Mother before us as that model, to ask her to intercede for us, to pray for us, that we too may experience the same glory that she does now, the glory to which all of us are called, brothers and sisters. We are called to nothing short of that, called to experience that glory in heaven. When death has literally been reversed on each and every one of us, we receive our bodies back and we are returned to the natural state of human beings, body and soul complete in heaven. That is the glory to which we are called. Let's pray for the Blessed Mother's intercession for us.